You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Take one.
Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
Oh, Dana, look at our new podcasting flirt firm.
And we're in the room with Stephen and Dana. We're coming live from Riverside.fm on BPN, honey.
Bam.
Meow, 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 meow. Someone in this room is sick with a cold. I won't tell you who it is. It's Stephen.
It's me. Oh. So if you care to find me. No, I'm not that sick. I'm just, I have a little, like an allergy. Spring is here. Spring has sprung. The face mask situation.
Snort. Are you on the up and up? Are we in the thick of it?
I am on the up and up. My weekend of shows was a lot under the mask and the sniffles. But we got through it. I was tested. Negative. Negative Nancy.
So you're old school, just straight up sick.
Old school, straight up, like, oh, things are in bloom and you've been inside for 2 years and got to skip spring and allergy season entirely.
Okay. I can hear it. Welcome back. Sounds nice. Mm.
Thanks for bringing it to everyone's attention.
You're welcome. Well, they'll hear it and they'll be like, why didn't anyone address it? And you're welcome.
Well, your tones are as dulcet as ever.
I'm always nasal. I feel like I
She
have,
dulcets.
Who cares? I dulcet. She dulcets. Oh my gosh. Okay. Do we have any other updates?
I mean, I haven't talked to you since we last recorded a podcast. How are you?
Which was not too long ago. We took like 3 months off. And then we were like, let's start doing this again.
Yeah. We have a fierce guest in our room tonight.
I'm just going to let you do that transition. Yay,
ladies,
Samantha Williams!
In the hot seat.
Hello. I've been here from the beginning, but I wasn't sure when I was able to talk. So I was like, I guess I'll wait. But hello.
That would be now. That's
yeah.
Now.
Yes. Hi.
You found Thanks. It. You know your cues.
I know my cues.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
thank you
we
for
have
being here.
So
thank
much
you
to
for
talk about.
Me.
I feel like we have a similar Venn diagram, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There are chunks of our lives that we've shared together, whether you know that or not.
I did not know that, so I cannot wait to find out.
I'm going to take you back to a place called Quisasana, where the pines are.
No way.
Yes, way.
Wait, oh my God, yeah. Did you tell me this in the original email?
Well, yes, but it's been a very long time.
I'm so sorry.
I
yes.
do not need you to know that. This is so much better.
Okay.
No. This is so much better. Six
oh
summers
God.
Of my life were spent on Lake Kezar in wow. Central of Maine.
Wow.
I know.
Wow. Six summers. Honestly, I love it there. I can't lie to you.
It's pretty great.
I only spent one summer there, and then I went to visit, but it was a really fun summer for sure.
Ooh, you got to visit.
I did. I got
Ooh,
the
they
insights.
Must have liked you.
They did love me. I will say, like, I know that I was loved there. Like,
yeah, you were loved.
I made my mark.
Sometimes yeah, you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Exactly. It was definitely that vibe.
Oh my gosh. So listeners, like, this is a resort in the mountains in Maine, and a lot of performers around the country, if they go to theater school or whatnot, wind up there. Who knows how? I mean, there's a lot of ASU, there's a lot of Pace, there's a lot of, you know,
Wisconsin.
Stevens Point. Yeah, like random conglomerates across the country, NYU, Manhattan School of Music, just kind of go up and mm-hmm. perform in the woods and get into some shenanigans and, you know, meet some people.
Lots of shenanigans.
Lots. I love saying it. Quisasana.
Where the pines are. Quisasana. Yes.
There's a yes. song.
Oh, yeah. It's like a whole cult.
It's a cult.
It's a cult situation. Yeah, 100%. For sure. Really fun.
Not
times,
really.
Though.
Do not write a New York Post article about this.
I've been listening to Dana talk about Quisasana for years, and I've never heard the song.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a song. There's a song. Everyone gets very emotional.
Not me.
Not everyone, but the people who go there, like the families yeah. who've been there for like 47 years in a row.
I know. And that's what
all
makes it a cult.
All those old people. Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Bridget Everett is a former alum.
Yes.
I don't know. It's. I like finding people who've done it because it's so weird. You can't even hardly describe it.
No, yeah. It's definitely niche for sure.
Oh, show. Yeah. Well, welcome to our room.
Thank you for having me.
We would ideally like to be with you in person.
Of course.
We're still kind of doing this, you know, because this is still happening. Yeah.
It is always fun getting a peek into, like, the three rooms, right? Because, like, obviously we would rather be in one room, but if we have to be in three rooms, at least, like...
Oh, yeah. We're doing a little...
We get to, like, still spy a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But then they get to spy back. Yeah, so it feels a little more equal.
For sure, for sure.
Cut to me the most nondescript corner of my house.
I was about to say, like...
I'm giving you nothing.
That's not fair.
He's giving you stark, real
meanwhile...
anything good on the night... Oh, you know what I have on the nightstand that's fun? I have my thank you at-home COVID test.
Yes!
Stay safe.
We are taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And a giant jug of water.
Amazing.
Well, I do have to say that, like, before Broadway shut down, along with the rest of everything else, Carolina Change was one of three tickets that I had. And
me
it was,
too.
Like, such a bummer. And it was, like, maybe the first show I saw back in the theater.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I was, like, you know. Awesome. Very excited to actually see it. Were you nervous that it wouldn't come back? Because you had gotten cast.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any performances?
Yeah, you were in a very unique situation.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique situation. We were about to have our invited dress. So we were going to have our first ever audience the day that everything shut down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then... They were like, okay, like, it's just going to be 2 weeks, whatever. And we all went out to a bar and, like, got really drunk because we were like, oh, my God, we have 2 weeks to just, like, relax and chill and, like, rest our voices. Like, yeah. Let's kind of, like, hang out and celebrate a little. Like, everybody was there. and little did we know, we would not see each other for another, like, year and a half or so. And then during that time... I went back to Texas. That's where I'm originally from. And I lived with my mom for a bit. And during the time I was like finishing college, class of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I got to finish college with my class and everything. And that was cool. But I definitely did have some like doubt on whether or not it would be coming back or when it would be coming back and whatnot.
How could you not?
But luckily everything worked out exactly how it was supposed to be, and I got to come back and do it, and it was the best experience of my life. So yeah.
Were you guys doing like Zoom readings like at the beginning when everyone, you know, thought it was going to be 2 weeks just to kind of keep everything fresh? I know some shows were doing, you know, Zoom rehearsal or touch-ins until that became obviously a lot longer period of time.
Yeah, no, we were not.
Nope.
No, great. No, our director, Michael Longhurst, honestly, the whole team, they're all like British. So like the way the Brits do theater, like they're so chill about everything. Like, so there was just no way we were going to do that.
Sure.
Like we would do a run of a show and like, or we would do like a run of the show like in the rehearsal room, and then like celebrate by getting beer after. Like, that's the vibe of everything. So there's just no way we were going to... We would do, like, Zoom meetings and, like, talk to each other and be like, what's good? And get some, like, information on things. But I did see a lot of shows doing Zoom rehearsals and stuff. But no, we didn't get to do that.
That's surprising, I think. Well, to me, because it's such a dense piece.
Yeah. I think it's because, like, because there's no, like spoken lines, we would have to be, like, singing at each other through Zoom and, like...
Right.
It's like, what are you going to do? Yeah, so... yeah, we didn't have any of that. But it would have been cool, I think. It would have been interesting to try to do it over Zoom, for sure.
Mm. Sure. Dana, you just touched on, like, the complexity of the material, and I wanted to ask you, Samantha... Your name says Sammy, but your name's Samantha. I don't know what to call you.
No, you can call me Sammy. Everybody calls me Sammy. Yeah.
Sammy, I wanted to ask you, did that material come naturally to you? Is that the material that, like, you tend to absorb anyway? Or is that, like, is Janine Tesori's score, like, a hard left from, like, where your comfort zone is?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it was so hard to learn, obviously, because everything is so intricate, and it definitely took a lot of work of just, like, drilling the rhythms, drilling the notes, and drilling the intentions, and just, like, figuring out, like, what I'm saying and why I'm doing it. But I feel like it's so well written that, like, once you get it, you get it. So, like, I don't know if that means it comes naturally, but, like, it's just so good that it's, like, you put in the work and, like, it's there. It's in your body. Yeah. I think, yeah, going back to, like, the Zoom thing, I think by that point, by, like, the time we were going to do it in front of audiences, we had all put in so much work that, like, it's one of those shows that once you know it, it's there. There's not really anything else to, like, dive into. And also, like, all the words, like, Tony Kushner is so brilliant in writing it that, like, everything you need is there. And I feel like nowadays with, like, all this commercial theater that's coming out, which is also amazing and has its place, I feel like a lot of the times the book and just the story in general doesn't really give the actor everything that they need in order to tell the story well. Like, it's not all in the text, but Tony Kushner and, like, Carolina Change and all that, like, it's all there on the page, like Shakespeare. So it's just, like, you just got to trust that it's there. No, it didn't come easily, but... It wasn't, you know, I don't know how to answer
that. Didn't you do the workshop at Pace and you played Caroline?
Yes, I did. I was a fresh 17, 18 years old playing Caroline in Carolina Change
at Pace. That's what college is for.
It is. And that was honestly my first, that was like freshman years when I learned, like I went to performing arts high school. And then came to New York for Pace University. And I feel like freshman year is when, all of acting and everything kind of started making sense to me. Because, like, I was thrown a lot in high school because I went to a performing arts high school. So they, like, gave us all the tools. But, like, I was, like, 15. I didn't know what I was really doing. But my freshman year, like, everything kind of, like, melded in. And then my last semester, I got to, like, try, like, use all the tools I felt, like, finally settled in me in the workshop of Carolina Change. So that was, like, my first real, I like to call it my first real show, my first real, like experience with, like, true, like, theater and acting and stuff. So when I got to do it basically my senior year, it was, like, a crazy 360, you know, or 180 or whatever, full circle, whatever full circle radius is.
That's math. That's I'm for dead. Other people to know.
That was, that you cut out. It was a full circle moment. That's what I
meant. That's right. 360.
Yeah. 360.
I love that you were that aware of that as a freshman, that you were like, I'm approaching this differently now.
Yeah, I think.
Something makes sense. I see something different. Let's try it this way.
Yeah,
you kept following that. I think speaks volumes about your instinct and your gut.
Thank you. Yeah, it was really just so awesome. So, yeah.
And then hold on. You were also in Dear Evan Hansen.
I was.
And the tour, like, and you're in college. What?
Yeah.
How does that work? How does that work as someone who went to college in Wisconsin and there's mm-hmm. no opportunity to do those things?
Of course. No, yeah. Definitely, like, wild. Like, I never in a million years thought that would even be a possibility. So when we did the Carolina Change workshop, my teacher invited a lot of, or our professors invited a lot of, like, their friends and, like, industry professionals, because it's in New York. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people saw me do that. And then from there, I started getting sent a few auditions to go on professionally. My first professional audition was the Once on This Island revival. Mm-hmm. It was the worst audition of my life. It was so bad. But it's
first
just
pancake,
so,
yes,
first pancake.
And you're still in the business.
Yeah, it was so bad. I was so nervous, and I had, like, I was wearing, like, a crop top, and I had a belly button ring. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yes.
It was so odd. But we all have to, like, start somewhere. So that was my first thing, and then from there, they started calling me in for Dear Evan Hansen, and I went in for, like, I started going in for Dear Evan Hansen my second semester of my sophomore year, and I finally, like, got it my junior year, second or beginning of second semester of my junior year. So it was like a year-long audition process. I think I did like 10 auditions. Mm-hmm. Mm. Which they do it like that in those shows. And then I was actually offered to be an understudy in their new Canadian production in Toronto. That's what, like, my original offer was. But I didn't want to, like, leave school to, like, go to Canada. Like, I just felt like I had more to learn, and, like, I didn't want to leave school. And
again, instinct and gut.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, period. And so
and geography.
And geography, yes. And then okay, so that happened, and then I went home for spring break, or for winter break, and I was like, darn, like, I really, like, screwed up. Maybe I should have gone to Canada. What if I never get an opportunity like that again? Like, whatever. And then I got a call from the casting director, and he was like, did you turn it down because it was in Canada, or did you turn it down because you didn't want to be an understudy? And I said, honestly, I turned it down because it was in Canada. Like, I didn't think it was a good idea to leave school. And he was like, okay, cool. And then a week later, I got a phone call asking if I would be, like, a vacation understudy in Evan Hansen. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I don't know what that means, but absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I came back to school. I was a vacation understudy on Broadway for, like, 2 weeks. And I couldn't tell anyone, which really sucked. Like, I think now they changed it where, like, you can tell people if you're an understudy, like, I don't know, it was weird. And then as soon as I left, as soon as I, like, finished my two-week stint there, they called me and they were like, we would like to offer you the actual role of Alana on Broadway, period. Mm. And I was like, yes, trusting your gut. And I'll never not trust my gut. Like, that is just, like, pure, like you just got to go for what you know you're worth and stick
well, you
to
can,
your...
You can smell when people want you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was really hard, knowing that they wanted you mm-hmm. and having to say no. And, like, are people going to want me again? Like,
Yeah.
Am I giving up my one opportunity?
Absolutely. It also showed me that, like, there is no rush. And, like, things, like, if you're meant to be on this path, things will come to you when they're meant to. And it's obviously easier said, you know, like that. Like, it can get pretty, like, daunting waiting around for, like, opportunities and stuff. But I feel like as long as you, like, keep working, like, stuff is going to come your way no matter what. So I did that. And then in my contract, it said that I was going to do Broadway for 6 months and then be on tour for 10 months. That was just the way the contract was written. And I didn't really want to leave New York because I was, like, it was my junior year. I was still doing, like, school and Broadway at the same time. And I was like, I don't really want to go my senior year. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. So I went on tour for like 2 months, but right before I left, I auditioned for Carolina Change, and I booked Carolina Change. So I got to come back January of 2020, and then we started rehearsals, and then the pandemic hit. I went home. Then I went home, finished college online, came back, and then did Caroline. And that's kind of been my little journey thus far. So, yeah.
What a beautiful trail you've
that's
blazed.
That's exhausting.
Not a trail you blazed. I'm laughing. Very exhausting. A lot of ups and downs. Like, sure. Even, like, during the pandemic, I was like, in Texas, like, do I even want to do theater? You know, I feel like we all had that moment.
Right. It all got very real that, like, we're all at risk of anything in this industry. It really is. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to work in entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And also, I have to say the going to school in Manhattan thing, or like adjacent to, you know, the tri-state area, that's a huge impetus as a performer who would also like to audition for Broadway. I mean, that's not normal.
No, absolutely.
So, I mean,
not.
That's a big reason why people go to Pace, a big reason why people go to, you know, fill in the blank, NYU.
Yeah.
Do they, I mean, obviously they're telling people to go audition. It's not a closed door policy,
it's not a
or
conservatory.
What?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I would say it's in the middle. Like, they didn't want us to, like, be going to, like, open calls and stuff like that, like, and missing class and, like, doing all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if an opportunity came our way and they felt like we were ready for it, they would send us in. Or, like, if they, like, got, like, because, like, also, like, the person who was ahead of our program at the time, like, would, like, look on, like, and, like, have, like, kind of, like, a list of, like, things that were going on. And, like, she would know, like, okay, I have a few kids that actually would be really good for this, and I feel like they're ready. And she would herself get us appointments and send us in. So, like, it just depended on the person and the circumstance. But, like, she didn't necessarily want us, like... It wasn't, like, encouraged to just, like, go and audition. Because
right,
we aren't ready.
Right, they're still doing shows, too.
Exactly. So
like,
school
they
definitely
need people
came
in
first.
The program. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Cool. School came first, but they did make it possible to do both at the same time.
They knew the cool. difference between, like, holding you too close and a real opportunity that needed to be acknowledged.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, when I got Canada, they were like, I don't know if you should leave for that. And, like, at first I thought they were crazy, but, like, now that I'm older and out of it, like, yeah, no, I shouldn't have left school for that. I could have, but, you know, I feel like it was a good call on their end. So, yeah. Yeah.
Take me to Texas.
To Texas?
Right now. Oh. Right now. What part are you from?
I'm kind of from all over, but I was in high school, I was in Houston, Texas. So like in a city.
Mm-hmm. Well, we pronounce it Houston here. So
Houston. Right. But my family is all from the Bronx and I have a lot of family here and I was born in New Jersey, cool. but I moved to Texas when I was really young. So I'm a Texan, but not really, kind of a mixture of both.
Yeah,
Houston
I've never
rocket.
Been to Texas.
Yeah. I'm actually going on Wednesday to surprise my mom. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
Not if she listens to this podcast.
She won't. She has no concept of like social media. So, hey, mom. You'll
hey,
never
mom.
Hear this.
Hey, happy birthday.
Surprise.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
That's insane.
This is just like a weird theater nerd question I sort of had. Again, very unique situation being in a show that was supposed to open before a pandemic, and then a pandemic happened, and then you picked it back up later. You were also one of, if not the first, cast recording to be recorded in the post-pandemic age.
Oh.
So I'm curious.
I didn't realize that.
I'm curious, like, if that process, I mean, obviously, you know, recording and singing was a big fear, and how, I don't know exactly what my question is. I guess, what was the process of the recording, and did it feel different than, say, other studio times, or did it feel like this was new to everybody as opposed to how they would normally do things?
Yeah. You're a recording artist.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that makes total sense. That's an amazing question. I feel like, so it was my first ever cast album, and it's been my dream to.
Such an accomplishment. Such a milestone. So cool. Like, check it's, mark, bucket yo, list.
It's crazy. And like, I'm a theater nerd, so I listen to cast albums all the time. So like, to be on one, I was like, what the heck is going on? It was really an amazing experience. I do understand what they mean when, like, people are like, yeah, like, most cast albums, like, what you're hearing is, like, really tired actors because, like, it's always, like, recorded on a Monday. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting, like, having to pace ourselves during the week prior. But I just want to point out, so Sharon D. Clarke, who played Caroline... Magnificent
Queen.
Woman.
Amazing.
Queen.
Amazing.
My mother on and off the stage, like the best human in the entire planet. She is also a voiceover actress. And a lot of those actors were, like all those like seasoned actors, Casey, everyone. But Sharon, oh my gosh. The things she could conjure up with her voice and like, it was insane, and she definitely set the bar in the studio of where, and we all just met her there, but like, when she started, I was like, okay, so like, this is the energy that we're giving, and just like, the way she would like, use the mic, and like, use her body to like, give exactly like, the same energy and action that was going on stage, just behind the mic, and like, still, it was crazy to watch. Like, I learned every day from her, obviously, because she's a genius, but like, in that studio, like, I like, my mind was blown. Like, it was the most, and you can hear it on the recording, like, she is there, like, her voice and the quality and the tone of everything. Oh my god, it was like, it was life-changing.
You're in love. Look at you. Oh, talk about her.
I'm obsessed with her. Like, I, oh my god, you have no idea. She's the best.
You're talking about that and how she set the bar. Did that give you a sense of freedom?
Yes. Yes.
Did that free you guys up to be like, oh, this is the room. This is the energy. This is how we're playing today.
Absolutely. It was like, all right, cool. Like, let's have fun. And like, obviously, you know, we would do things multiple times and just like, try things different ways, and Tony Kushner was there too, making sure we were word perfect, because like, you know, like, we'd be making up stuff all the time, so as long as it rhymes, so
sure.
Don't tell me you said that though. And Janine was there, and just like the orchestra, and like, oh my god, the energy was wild.
Even the orchestra is
even
beautiful.
The orchestra, yes, exactly. And it was just like such a communal, like, brilliant time. And honestly, like, the feeling of that cast is such like like, we are just, like, one big family. Like, that is really the energy. And, like, I know a lot of people say, like, that's how their casts are, but, like, that really was, like, because, you know, we went through the whole pandemic together.
Well, they're full
together.
Of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, exactly.
They're full of shit. And you guys had, like, washing machines.
Yeah, exactly.
Like.
Kevin McAllister.
Legend.
Legend. I worked with him at Come From Away, and I got to watch all of his standby rehearsals, so I got to see him do each part in the play.
Literally thought you were talking about Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. We always make a... I'm like, now, whose name is Kevin McAllister? I'm never, like...
Right.
But, yeah, I hope he gets a Tony for what he did. I don't know, like, how that goes, but, like, he deserves every award and accolade because he's insane. That voice is crazy.
Transformative.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. So, yeah, it was a really awesome experience.
It was a beautiful production. I really loved
you.
It.
It was so cool.
Thank you.
There was there's nothing like it.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
It's such a special piece that was so ahead of its time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Tony Kushner, though. Like, you worked with Tony Kushner.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
It blows it wide open, you know.
Things that have come out of his brain.
Yeah, that's insane.
It is wild. And it also is wild because, like, he's so, like, nice and, like, he's like a big teddy bear. Like, he's so chill and, like, awesome that, like, I'd be forgetting he's Tony Kushner. Like, I can't lie to you guys. We would just be, like, hanging out and, like, he's, like, delivering, like, he's just so kind and, like, giving us notes and, like, I don't know, like, everyone was so process-based and you could tell, so there were no, like, crazy egos or anything like that. Like, everyone was just, like, really, like, there to, like, tell such a good story. That's why I think it was cast so perfectly. Like, there was no one in, like, there's not even, not a rotten egg at all.
You could
everyone
tell
was the best.
Good group up there.
Well, and so thankful that it came back. Like, now we can get along with it, and there's, like, a preciousness to...
Yes, absolutely.
...being together and telling the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to be among the first shows to come back, because you were ready to go.
Yeah,
you know, you rehearsed, you were ready, you jumped right back into the saddle and to lead all the other shows that opened after. You guys were such a good leader. Such a good example of, you know, again, like, setting the bar and having to meet you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was awesome.
Stephen, isn't Caroline or Change one of your top shows of all time?
I really think so. I think, like, in any top 10 list I've ever made, Caroline is on there.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool. I think the material is great, but more importantly, how the material is told is great.
I would love for it to be a movie musical.
I think it would make a beautiful film.
I think so, too. I think I mean, over the pandemic, obviously, it crossed my mind multiple times. I was like, wait, like, what if we make this a movie musical and reach, like, more people and, like, you know, then bring it to Broadway, whatever. But... who's to say? That would be really dope, though. I'm putting it into the universe now.
If you had to, like, celebrity cast a Caroline.
Sharon D. Clarke.
I mean, there we go.
She's a celebrity, right? Yeah. I couldn't see anyone else doing it. No offense.
I've always said that I'd love to see Wanda Sykes do it. And I know that she's a comedian, but I think she could really surprise a lot of people.
I could see
with a fierce Caroline.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I could totally see that.
Don't know why, but I stand by it.
I stand by it.
There's something there.
I love the restrictions of theater. Like, you need to do it in this box. And there are things that you can, like, play with. However, Caroline or Change, in a movie way, like, that creativity just explodes.
Yeah.
Unlimited, yeah.
You could do so much. You could go so many different ways. And, like, they got to do that.
Oof.
Can you imagine? I have the chills.
I hope so. Why not? Tony Kushner's on a freaking roll right now.
I know.
Anyone would be stupid not to be like, what's the next Tony Kushner thing we can make?
No, literally. That'd be awesome.
I want him to write a sitcom. You know, like something he's never done, but like make it good.
Yeah, absolutely. He's capable of everything.
He's so capable. He's stupidly capable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What? Every actor hates this question, but I'm still going to ask it. What's happening next? Like, we've talked about how your brilliance recently.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to do next?
That is a good question. I'm doing an out-of-town first show this summer in Chicago at the Goodman Theater.
Nice.
Chicago.
Yeah, I'm really excited to experience it.
So can that's you say what next. It is?
I don't know. But I'll tell you guys. It's called Life After. I don't know. I already signed the contract, so it doesn't matter.
Sweet.
It's called Life After, and it's about this girl who loses her dad in a car accident and kind of like, it's beautiful music. Oh my gosh. It's like very fun home like, very folky, like dogfight ish like. And it follows her through sort of like the stages of grief, and like she goes back and forth in time trying to like figure out like if it was her fault that he died or like, you know, like what happened. And at the end, she just kind of like wraps the whole like play together by deciding that some things like don't have answers, but that's okay, and like life goes on, and like you can still be so full of love for someone even if they're not here, and even if a lot of things were left unsaid. And so yeah, it's a really beautiful story, so that's what I have coming up next. But I don't really know like what the future will be for that, but I'm excited.
Cool. Have you spent any time in Chicago? Did you tour?
No, I didn't ever reach Chicago, but I had a really good friend from a musical theater camp that I met when I was 13, and her family is from there, so I spent a summer there visiting them when I was like 15 or so. So I've spent a summer there, and I also went to Unifieds there for college auditions, but that was during the winter, so that was like horrendous.
Terrible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Terrible news.
Yeah.
Well, go see the Sunday in the Park exhibit.
Oh, I will.
The painting.
You gotta go look at that painting.
If you haven't.
Just put it in your ears.
And, I will.
Take a moment and watch that thing come to life.
I will. Oh, my God. I played Dot, actually. That was, like, my most recent college role, my junior year. Yeah. It's great. Great
show. It's thrilling. I made Dana do it.
I'm so excited.
But I don't think she regrets it.
I don't.
Magic.
I'm excited.
So Dana asked the what's next, and I'm going to ask the other question actors either love or hate, which is what are the dream roles? What are the roles that you would love to conquer?
What's your dream role, girl?
I would say right now, like roles that are out right now, like on Broadway.
Up to you.
No restrictions.
I was thinking broader, but if you need to limit yourself, like on a menu, if it's too many things, pick something.
No. I mean, my dream role was Emmy, so I got to play that.
Oh,
I also...
Incredible. I love
everything's downhill from here. I mean...
I know, that's what I always joke around and say that too. I would love to play Eurydice in Hadestown. Like, that musical is like... That's really my alley, so that would be really cool. I really love this next role that I'm about to be doing, so like that is also a dream role, and I'm excited to start with that.
Are you originating that role?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How cool to build from the ground up and
play
and
I'm
tweak
excited.
And learn. You know, like you said, this is a dream role, but it wasn't a role you knew to dream about because no one else had done it for you first.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
A beautiful perspective to me.
Mm-hmm. You're going to create someone's dream role.
Yes. Next time. Hopefully. And then I really want to do a revival of The Wiz. So I would love to be Dorothy in that, which I did in high school, but like I would love to do it like on Broadway or somewhere cool.
Look at you. How many times tonight have you said, like, oh, I always wanted to do this. Oh, I did it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, I did it.
I know. Like, that's crazy.
You just checking the list off.
Stop. Listen. Also,
keep going. Don't you stop.
Mm-mm. I'm obsessed with Rent. And I saw that it's coming to Paper Mill, and I really want to, I love, like, the role of Mimi. Like, I would love to play that. I played Maureen when I was in high school, and it was, like, the most, like, invigorating, like, opening experience for me, and it was so cool, so I would love to do that again, and I think Paper Mill is so cool. It would be a great place to, like, try out a new show. Yeah, that's all I can think of right now, but I'm sure. Oh, I'm obsessed with Dog Fight, too. That's my favorite musical. Even though I've never seen it, or I've never read the script or anything. I just love the music, so.
That's a Broadway blind spot for me.
You saw it?
I saw it at Second Stage.
Oh, shit.
I loved
How
it. I went
was
to see Annalie in
it?
It. I loved it.
Oh, my God.
I loved it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah,
I thought it was really cool.
Lindsay Mendez, I'm obsessed with her. And
I don't know the source material at all. So that's like a missing piece for me. But I had never seen anything like it. And I was like, this is a story that hasn't been told.
Told, yeah. And I just think Pasek and Paul, like, I think it's their best work, in my opinion.
So
hopefully it comes back, or it comes to Broadway, because it never made it, right?
Yeah, it was, it wasn't... on Broadway, but it was certainly at Second Stage and did really well there.
Yeah.
If memory serves.
Yeah.
I certainly loved it there.
That's amazing.
Hi-ho! 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 Hi-ho!
We have one more question for you that all actors hate. There are seven very well-known dwarves in history. If you were the eighth dwarf, what would your name be?
Oh, that's a good question. God, that's a hard question.
We ask all of our guests, and they all hate it. You're welcome. Ugh,
you're the 95th person to answer it.
Oh my gosh, amazing. I would say... I don't even know how to answer that correctly. Wait, okay.
I'm gonna give you what's your essence? Like, what's the center of your baseball? What's that?
Are you bestowing a dwarf name?
I think I would call myself crazy.
Crazy dwarf.
Well, then so will we.
And it ends in a Y.
And it ends in a crazy. Just call me crazy. I don't fucking know.
Works for me. I like that answer. Crazy
dwarf. I do want to see an Excel spreadsheet of everyone's answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was like the best answer you guys have gotten?
Meredith. Or no.
Margaret.
Margaret Dwarf. The last one was Groovy Dwarf.
Okay.
We have a lot of slutty dwarves. We have
a couple of sparkly dwarves.
Sparkly.
I'm Nishy Dwarf.
Niche?
Nishy Dwarf, yeah.
Oh, because you're very niche. Okay, I love that.
Annalie and I were both gassy.
Gassy, that's funny.
We have our own cabin.
That's funny, your own cabin. I would say, okay, I'm going to change mine. It's not crazy.
No.
I would say mine is Sunny. Because I love a good, I feel like I like
there we
bring
go.
The sunshine, baby. Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, then your season's coming up.
Honey, it is. And I cannot wait to thrive. Hot girl summer all the way. Yes.
What do you do in the summer? What's your... Well, you'll be working.
Yeah, I'll be working.
But are you like a beach queen? Are you a hiking queen? Are you...
Because there are beaches in Chicago.
I know. I'm so excited. I don't know if you guys... I like to travel, so like I'm a beach girl. Like I will find my way to an island. Like I was just in St. Croix... I went from, like, Puerto Rico to St. Croix in the span of, like, 3 weeks just because. I will find...
Good
I find a
you.
Cheap. I find a cheap ticket, and I just go. My friends think I'm crazy, but, like, I never get to travel because of the nature of our jobs. We have to, like, be here. So as soon as Caroline ended, I was like, this is my moment to go out.
Have you ever traveled by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've traveled by myself. Yeah, I went to... Europe my junior year, and I just like kind of like went around for a bit during spring break, and that was fun. But I definitely want to, like, do more of that. Although I feel like it can get kind of boring. Just depends on, like, if you're good at, like, talking to other people. Sometimes I can be bad at that, to be honest.
I have a lot of, like, trips in my head, but there were different people.
Yeah.
Like, I can obviously travel with my partner anywhere. We travel very well together.
Yeah,
but
that's good.
There are also trips where I'm like, not that I don't want you there, I just definitely want this person there.
Oh, yeah. I've learned that the hard way. Absolutely. I feel like that's just part of growing up. I've learned there are certain people, like, you can't really
Yeah, I think that's just part of the fun part, too, is, like,
yeah.
Different trips and different people, and
yeah,
mix it up in the barrel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, yeah. And everyone froze. Oh, there they go. Okay.
Oh.
We back. It's my shitty internet, apparently. On that note.
Steven. Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for joining us. We've wanted you for a very long time.
And yeah, it's a treat to finally meet you.
We're so glad.
Thank you. Thank
treat.
You for having
what
me.
What a treat.
And you guys know Larry Ray, or one of you does, right?
Obviously.
Okay, period. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Larry he Ray is. And I just had a date. We went to For Colored Girls on Broadway.
Oh, my God. It's open already.
Wardrobe That's supervisor nice. Linda Lee.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. How was it? I want to see it.
It was fantastic. I mean, it's like, God. If you know it.
Yeah.
I did not know it, but, you know, it's like monologues and storytelling, yeah. Mm-hmm. And everyone has, like, a different color ensemble, and it's
yeah.
bare feet, stark oh. stage.
That's mm-hmm. my dream just, show, to be in something like yeah. that.
Yeah, they are fantastic. It's powerful.
Oh,
it's funny.
Yeah, I'm hearing great word of mouth. I'm really excited to get there.
Yes, absolutely. And are you and Tina? I'm guessing. I don't know.
I
the hat.
Dress at Tina.
Okay, amazing, amazing.
Yeah,
okay. That's awesome.
I didn't do my hair for you today.
Oh no! Oh my gosh, I love
Terrible.
It.
Terrible.
No, that's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, we're having fun over there.
I'm sure. Oh my gosh, I love like hearing about all like the women who get to like go on as Tina. Like I love seeing it on Instagram, and
that's what keeps it fun for us too. Let me tell
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
Like, we have
I'm
four
sure.
women who play it very differently, and
yeah.
it is really a treat to,
That's awesome.
Again, shake up the barrel and
mm-hmm.
Give the audience something different each night
yeah.
and hear how they react to these different Tinas. And
yeah.
each woman has their own yeah. moment where they just have them in the palm of their hand,
yeah.
and it's different for each, and that's so cool to me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I was having dinner with Larry, and he... This is Larry Ray, not the one who's been making news because he was, like, some kind of sex cult leader at Sarah Lawrence. Okay.
Oh,
so
I didn't even
Larry
hear about
Ray,
that.
Our friend, was like, Dana, I can't stop seeing Tina. He went, he's been there, like, 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
He's, like, obsessed with it in a way that, like, I understand. I've seen it. I love mm-hmm. it. I love Tina Turner music, but he has a problem. He has a problem.
He loves the Tina.
Yeah. He's like, Dan, I cannot stop.
I'm glad I know that now, because now I can just send you things to pass on.
Oh, yeah. Look for him.
Like
he's
Tina
there
tidbits.
Most nights
he's,
of the
he's
week.
He's there once a week.
That's amazing. We yes. had someone who would come to Caroline, like, she came almost every day. Like, 2 show days, she was there, front row. It's really
Whoa.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Whoa. God bless. God bless. I want her job. Shit, she's making money.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, damn. Those tickets are expensive.
But
and thank
you
for your support.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being here, Sammy.
Thank you
for hustling
me.
On those trains and
Listen,
joining
I had
us in our Zoom.
Are you kidding me? Thank you for having me. This was so fun, and y'all are amazing.
You're
welcome great. Back anytime.
You are going to EGOT, absolutely, for sure. So we're glad that we got you, you know, in your young stage of your life.
We're glad that we EGOT you. Get it? Because we're on the electronic...
Y'all are silly.
This is so stupid.
He got you. He got you.
Oh, my gosh. And Steven, I hope, like, we get to work together. Like,
oh, my God. Please make that happen. Listen.
Moment. Yeah.
You let me know when you're working, and I'll get my ass on
okay, I
in
will.
Gear.
I will.
Oh, so amazing. Fun. We'd have a ball.
Yes, we would. I know that that dresser actor relationship is so like important and tight knit. So like I love dressers. So yeah, it's cool that you're doing that.
What a queen. Thank you.
We appreciate
you
guys.
Taking care of your clothes.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that.
Go have a fabulous rest of your night.
Thank you.
On that note. Bye.
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 In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out. And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.